As Andrew read for us this morning, Jesus asked, who do people say that he is? And they came up with a number of answers. Some said John the Baptist, some Elijah, some Jeremiah, and some just one of the prophets. And then Jesus said, but who do you say that I am? And Peter confessed, you are the Christ, the Son of God. Who is the real Jesus? That's the question for us this morning. As Dennis announced, I'll be out of town. Well, not out of town. I'll be somewhere else. I'll be in town Wednesday night. I'll be with our brethren over at the university congregation. They've asked me to speak on this topic as they begin their summer lecture series. And I tried to look at all the topics throughout the series to see where this fits in. And of course, this is paramount, understanding who Jesus is to understanding all the other things in life. Because when we receive Jesus, accept him for who he really is, and respond appropriately in our lives, then all the other issues of life are handled as they should. Do you know this is a fundamental belief in religion today? The clip that's playing behind me is a clip of the National Geographic television show, and the title is Jesus Revealed. And there was a lot of criticism with this show, that it leaned toward the Jesus seminar. And the Jesus seminar, a number of theologians get together and decide a lot of things. And they've recently come out with a report that almost nothing in the Bible attributed to Jesus was actually said by him. And that we cannot know who Jesus truly was today. Jesus warns us in Matthew chapter 24, many will say, I am the Christ, and mislead people. And then in verse 23, some will say, behold, here is the Christ, or there he is. And Jesus says at the end of verse 24, do not believe them. Jesus said there are going to be many people throughout life saying, I'm Jesus, I'm the Christ, and do not believe them. Today, Jesus is different in different religions. Some say we cannot know him, the real Jesus of the first century. Some say he's just a good man and a teacher. Some say he's a prophet or a sage. Some say that he's one of many eons. That's the Gnostic religion, New Age. Some say that he's just a created being. He's not divine. Some say that he's God, the Christ, the Holy One of God, the Son of God, deity, divine. And Satan certainly has accomplished his desire in confusing men today upon the earth, where many are saying, here is Jesus the Christ, or here is Jesus the Christ. Our task is to answer the question, who is the real Jesus? And we could do this a number of ways, but I've chosen in the short time we have here to do so from the Word of God, the truth, and not to do so from history, which many things said in history are wrong and are false. Well, how do we come up with an answer for who is the real Jesus? Let me suggest to you, we do it just like you may say, who is the real Alan McNabb? You would begin giving designations or attributes of who I am. You may say, he's a husband, he's a father, he's a preacher, he's a volunteer. You may say he's handsome, smart, good-looking, strong, and really built. Okay, well, that's enough of that. But you see, you get the point by expressing the attributes or the designations that I have in life, then you are telling someone who is the real Alan McNabb. Well, let's take a moment and let's review some of these designations or attributes of Jesus. I saw a list one time, and I went about checking out this list of about 150 designations of Jesus. Now, how in the world can I answer the question and cover all 150 in one short lesson? I can't do it. But I want to display many of these upon the screen so that you are reminded, and I think this does something for us, as we are reminded, who is Jesus? He's truly an absolutely incredible person. He is the I Am, the image of God, the Almighty, the Mighty God, Eternal Father, Isaiah chapter 9. Great God and Savior, the power of God, the Holy One, holy and true, Creator, the Word of God, wisdom of God, light of the world, and I've got eight more slides exactly like that. And I'm not going to read them all, but I'm going to show them here so that you can look at them and you can examine them very quickly. Jesus is the truth and the true bread and the true light and the true vine. The Son of God, Emmanuel, Son of David, Son of God, Son of the Most High, only begotten of God, Lord, Lord of all, Lord of glory, Lord of lords, ruler of God's creation, life, eternal life, living one, living stone, resurrection and life, heir of all things, author of life, author and perfecter of faith, author of salvation, advocate, counselor, head of the church, mediator of the new covenant, King of kings, King of the ages, eternal king, King of Israel, judge, amen, lion, man of heaven, prophet, rock. Who is Jesus? Jesus is all of these. All of these things express who Jesus is. I want us to go to the Word of God. I want to talk about five things. And as I thought about this, I believe these are the five most important. As we talk about this morning. First of all, I hear your Bibles already, you already turning your Bibles. Let's go to John chapter 1 and verse 1. I believe the most important thing to understand about Jesus is that He is God. And you are so very familiar with this. And John chapter 1 verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we've talked about this before, that the definite article is not translated in our Greek, in our English translations, and this communicates that Jesus is divine, that He is deity, that He is in perfect fellowship with Jehovah, though He is a separate person. Jesus is not just a man, Jesus is God. And when we understand that, and we can have that in the proper perspective within our lives, then we can answer all the other questions that may come about in this life. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 7. And I believe it's important for us to realize, to remind ourselves that Jesus, as He was in heaven, was equal to God the Father. And in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 6, speaking of Jesus, who, although He existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. But here Jesus is in heaven, and you can see this the very best that you can within your mind. Here, having equality with God, did not believe, New American Standard, that it is a thing to be grasped. In other words, that it's something He would let go of for a period of time so that He could empty Himself, verse 7, and take the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of man. And then you remember, as Paul continues throughout this passage, humbling himself even to die upon the cross. And turn your Bibles with me over to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9. Jesus was just not a man. He was just not a prophet, just not a sage. Jesus is God. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9. The Apostle Paul, as he is teaching against the Gnostic doctrines of the day that we have yet today, that are prevalent in the New Age religion, that he says this in verse 9, "For in Him," that is Jesus, "all the fullness," the word fullness is a translation of the Greek word pleroma. And in the Gnostic religion, the pleroma is the existence, the existence wherein one has fellowship with God. And it is something that's only reached through some special knowledge that God gives to you that is not revealed to mankind. And Paul is saying that Jesus Christ, for in Him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. That in Jesus Christ, as He walked here upon the earth, that all the fullness of God, the pleroma of God, existed within Him as God. By the way, we'll talk about that just a little bit more when we get later in the lesson. So remember that. As God, Jesus Christ is Lord. Turn your Bibles with me over to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 and verse 36. The word Lord signifies having power or authority. And Jesus Christ as God has power and authority. You remember the Great Commission, all authority has been given to me in heaven and upon earth. And so therefore when Peter is preaching this sermon on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 and verse 36, he says, therefore let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Jesus Christ is Lord, and he was made Lord. He was given this authority, he was given this reign by Almighty God. Romans chapter 1 and verse 4, Jesus is Lord. This is declared by God that Jesus is his Son by the power of his resurrection. Acts chapter 10 verse 36, that Jesus is Lord of all. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, our job, our responsibility is to sanctify Christ in our hearts as Lord, the one to whom we must submit and obey completely. But also Jesus, as God and as Lord, is King. Turn your Bibles with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And near the end of verse 15, here the Apostle Paul speaking of Jesus. He is the blessed and only sovereign. Get that? The blessed and only sovereign. The King of kings and Lord of lords. Jesus rules over his kingdom. And I want you to notice with me Revelation chapter 5 and verse 10. This is so important for us as Christians, as his disciples, because we have an important role within his kingdom. Notice Revelation chapter 5, verse 10. Speaking of the saints, those who will be in heaven for eternity, says, you have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. Jesus Christ is King. He's Lord. And because we are his disciples, we are in that kingdom. We reign with him here upon the earth. Our citizenship being in heaven. Jesus is God. Jesus is Lord. And Jesus is King. But you know, God allows us to decide whether or not we're going to receive Jesus as God, King, and Lord. Remember in Matthew chapter 21 and beginning in verse 33 that Jesus tells a parable here. And there is a landowner and he plants a vineyard and he goes on a long trip. And he leaves others in charge of it and they take care of it. And it comes time for the harvest. And so the landowner sends slaves to go and to get his produce. But they beat them up and they kill them. He sends more slaves and they beat them up and kill them. Then he sends his son. Surely they will respect my son. And they kill him also. In verse 40, Jesus says this. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those vineyards? And then is answered, they said to him, he will bring those wretches to a wretched end and will rent out the vineyard to other vine growers who will pay him the proceeds at the proper seasons. And then verse 42, Jesus said, did you not never read the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, this became the chief cornerstone. They came about from the Lord, and it is a marvelous thing in our eyes. And so Jesus is God. He is Lord. He is King. And God gives us the right whether to receive him as such. Oprah Winfrey in her TV show says that one mistake that people make is thinking that there's only one way to God. She uses her TV show to teach religion as a disciple of Eckhart Tolle, promoting a religion founded on Gnostic doctrines and teaching New Age principles in a piece on MSNBC. It was reported that 33% of Americans listen to Oprah as their spiritual advisor over their preacher. It's accounted by some that she has the largest church in the world.
Oprah teaches that there are many paths to God. Many paths to, she says, quote, what you call God. That there's just not one way to God. Because of people who live in remote portions of the earth who've never heard of Jesus. One time on our show, a lady asked, what about Jesus? Her answer was, what about Jesus? You don't have to believe in Jesus, as far as she is concerned. In a New Earth web class, that's the religion she's involved in, she taught this from Tolle's book, quote, awareness is the power that is concealed within the present moment. That's the power. It's awareness. Awareness of the present moment. That is your power. The ultimate purpose of human existence, which is to say your purpose, is to bring that power into the world. In other words, the power that is within yourself, your awareness, bring it into the world, out of yourself, into the world. She neglects and rejects the inspired word of God, that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. That God's word performs its work in those who believe. That we're strengthened with power through God's spirit in the inner man. God's spirit in the inner man. And that the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but the power of God to those who are being saved. One warning. This is the doctrine of the emerging church movements. This is a movement amongst the denominations. First came the unity in diversity, where all the denominations can be unified. Now comes the emerging church movement, where all the religions of the world can be unified. All of the religions. In New Age, it's called the emerging consciousness movement. Feeling is over truth. Feelings take precedent over truth. Experience takes precedent over reason. As Christians, we receive Jesus Christ as God, Lord, and King. This is different from the New Age doctrines, from the emerging church doctrines that you're going to hear more and more and more about. It's basically the Unitarian Church exploded into what may become the greatest, largest world religion. Turn your Bibles with me over to John chapter 1. And I want us to notice just a couple of things. John chapter 1. We receive Jesus as God. Verses 1 and 2. We receive Jesus as our Creator. Verse 3. We receive Jesus as the light. Now understand, John is teaching against the Gnostic doctrines, what became the New Age doctrines of our age, that this light emanates from God, and there are many eons coming from God, these prophets or these sages who go into the world and they teach these things. That's not what the Bible says. Jesus Christ himself is the light. Difference. From the New Age world religions today. John chapter 3 and verse 5, we are born by water and spirit. As we obey him, the source of eternal salvation, Jesus Christ. But look at verses 12 and 13 of John chapter 1. But as many as received him. Now, as we've talked before, there are a number of Greek words translated receive. The word translated here is to receive as authority, to receive as the authority of your life. In other words, to receive as your God, your King, your Lord. Now, notice what John says. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You see, it is our decision. God has given us to make our decision. Will we receive Christ as Lord, as King, and our God? There is a song we sing, number 179, Lead Me to Calvary. It begins like this, King of my life, I crown thee now. Each one has a decision to make.
whether or not to crown Jesus as their King, their Lord, their God. It's not that He's not these things, but it's whether or not you'll receive Him as those things in your life. Well, I want to talk about two more things this morning. That Jesus is our Savior. The world religions have many saviors. And I did some research just to make sure the term Savior is used in respect to these individuals. And it is Buddha, Allah, Eon, Seth, Hiram Abiff, Mother Earth, and myself. You see, some believe that you are your own Savior. That within yourself, you are your own Savior. So there are many Saviors throughout the world. Jesus is our Savior. He is the real Savior. Turn your Bibles with me to Titus chapter 2 and verse 13. We'll read one verse and then I'll remind you of some others. Titus chapter 2 and verse 13. Chapter 2, verse 13. Here we are looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God. Get that. Our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. You remember the word Savior means deliverer, protector. Jesus Christ is our Savior. Colossians chapter 1, 13 through 14. God transfers us into the kingdom of His dear Son, Jesus Christ, wherein we are saved. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5. God makes us alive together with Christ. And verse 6, God seats us in the heavenly places in Christ. In verse 7, God shows us the surpassing riches of His grace in Christ. As Christians, we are waiting for our Savior to come. We are waiting for the appearing of our Savior. Philippians chapter 3, 20 and 21. We eagerly wait for a Savior, Jesus, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory by the exertion of His power. And the end of time comes. 1 Thessalonians 1, 14 to 17, 2 Thessalonians 1, 6 through 10. When Jesus Christ comes with His angels, the trumpet sounds and the shout of the archangel. Angels come with Him in flaming fire, bringing retribution upon those who do not believe the gospel. Oh yes, they believe in another Jesus. They believe in another Christ. They believe in another Savior, whether it be Buddha or Seth or Hiram Abiff or some eon. And can you imagine as Jesus, the one, the only, the true Savior comes and brings retribution upon them who believed in another Savior? What a sad, sad, sad day. But for us who believed in the real Savior, the only Savior, Jesus Christ, as we meet Him in the air with all the saints, He takes us home to be with Him, to be with our Father for eternity in heaven. The real Jesus is God, Lord, King, Savior, and head of the church. And I brought this one in because I'm going to tie it back to the Pleroma in just a second. Like I mentioned to you in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. I want you first of all to go with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22. And we're going to look at three passages in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians 5 and verse 22. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, He Himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also are wives to their husbands in everything. Jesus Christ is head of the church. As Christians, we are subject to Him. As Christians, we are members of His body, which is the church. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. And I want you to go with me to chapter 1, verse 23. And I want to point something out to you that's very, very important in understanding. As this New Age movement, as this emerging church movement continues and picks up more and more steam, I want you to realize this, verse 23, speaking of Christ and His body, the church, verse 22, verse 23, which is His body,
the fullness. The word fullness there is pleroma. The church is the pleroma of God, and Christ is the head. You see, men in all these other religions, they're trying to get to this place where they have spiritual fulfillment, where they have a relationship with God. And it is in only one place. It's not in all these other places that the religions upon the earth are telling us, do this, go here, do this, experience this, bring this out of yourself. It is in the church. That's where it is. It's nowhere else. And there's only one way to enter into this pleroma, and it is by obeying Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church, and let me use this term, the head of the pleroma of God. And when we obey Jesus Christ to repent and to be baptized, making our confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, not Buddha and not Seth and not Hiram Abiff or anyone else you may want to name, then we're added to the church. This is where we have spiritual fulfillment. This is where we have contact with the light. This is where we walk in the light. This is where we have enlightenment and peace and joy and contentment and spiritual strength, nowhere else. That's what God says. And I know you believe what God says. Ephesians chapter 3. Well, why are people in all these religions today? Because they want this fulfilling, joyful, peaceful, strengthening experience. Again, I want to point out that this is only as a Christian and only as a member of the body of Christ, only as part of His church. I want to leave you with these words in Ephesians chapter 3. And I want to read this prayer beginning in verse 14. Before I do this, I want to point out verse 19. At the end of verse 19, filled up to the fullness of God. The fullness there is pleroma. Paul is teaching against the Gnostic heresy of the day, which we are fighting against today and will fight even more against, I guarantee you. Oprah's going to make sure of that. We're going to have to fight. Notice what Paul says. This is his prayer for them. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. You see, you get the Gnostics. They're trying to have some knowledge. It surpasses knowledge! That you may be filled up with all the fullness of God. That you may have this fulfilling spiritual relationship strengthened by God Almighty, Jesus Christ, and the Spirit being within you. Verse 20. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, because of Christ, because He is God, Lord, and King, and Savior, and our head. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Who is the real Jesus? The real Jesus is God, Lord, King, Savior, and our head, the head of the church. That's the real Jesus. And now we extend the gospel invitation. Come to Jesus. Don't come to Buddha. Don't come to Seth. Don't come to Hiram Abiff. Don't come to yourself. Come to Jesus. That's the only way you'll be saved. That's the only way you'll experience spiritual fulfillment, peace, joy, contentment, strength, as if you go to Jesus. What must you do? We've already mentioned it through this lesson. Believing that Jesus Christ is who he said He was, the Son of God, the Christ, the light. Repent of your sins. Confess Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. And to be baptized for the remission of your sins. You'll be added to the church, filled up with all the fullness of God. If we can help you this morning, I want you to come to the front now as we stand and sing.